To be a devotee means to be a psychologist. A good bhakta is a good psychologist. Because devotion, in order to progress in devotion, we have to study the workings of the mind, popularly known as human psychology. Actually, when Krishna comes to this world, or Lord Chaitanya comes, or Ram, or all the various avatars or descents of the Lord, Dasa avatars, they all come to educate, to teach humans how to live a religious life, how to be happy and how to realize God and attain an eternal life of bliss and happiness in the spiritual world. If one looks at the various Vedic Shastras, you can see that they're all analyzing different mentalities, the different mentalities and psychologies of different classes of devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very clearly described in Srimad Bhagavatamrita. But in totality, the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the psychology and mentalities of pure devotees. The most pure and perfect devotees, of course, are the Vrajagopis. But there are also mixed devotees. Dhruva's story is there. Shiva's story, Dhruva's story. So many stories are there. Dhruva was mixed Paramishra Bhakti. So as serious devotees, we have to study how our mind works, understand how it works, how it's acting, how the mind is acting, why it's acting, where it's acting, how it's thinking, feeling, willing. It's not that we only beat the mind. Some people, they recite, or they say that Bhakti Santa Saraswati says that we should beat the mind 100 times in the morning when we wake up with a shoe, and in the evening before taking rest we should beat it 100 times. So the only business is beating the mind. But actually, we have to analyze the mind, because Rupa Goswami, in Nectar Instruction, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Mangalacharan, he's giving the definition of Shuddha Bhakti, or Uttam Bhakti, and he says that we have to be psychologists. Everyone in the material world, including all devotees, until we're completely liberated, Jivan Mukta, Siyuchate, we're all covered with different degrees of karma and jnana. Karma and jnana. Jnana karma adhyar avritam. Avritam. Anavritam. Anavritam means that pure devotion and pure devotees, anavritam, they are without any avritam. Avritam, covering. No covering of karma, jnana. So we have to examine our own minds and see how much covering there is. How much contamination or impurity or covering. Rupa Goswami defines this Uttam Bhakti as that devotion, as a pure serving mood, pure mood, serving mood, which is unencumbered with, free from and devoid of all coverings of karma and jnana. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma adhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. So what is this karma? This karma covering, the covering of karma, karma avritam and jnana avritam. Karma, jnana and abhilash. Abhilash, karma and jnana. So karma, what does karma mean? The covering of karma. It means covered, means to be absorbed in or covered with the desire for one's personal happiness. To be thinking and planning and acting for one's personal happiness by gross sense enjoyment and sense gratification of the material body. This is the covering of karma. Jnana means the desire to be happy by renouncing the body. So, karma means desiring to be happy in the body, material body, with the material body and senses. This is karma, the covering of karma. And jnana, the type of tyag or vairag or detachment. Okay, you know, I realize all happiness in this body is a duality. If you drive happiness from the body, then the same body will give distress. They're two sides of the same coin. The body coin has two sides, heads and tails. Body coin gives happiness, and body coin gives, on the other side, is distress. They come like two doors, in one door, out the other door. This is the coming of karma. And then, so, happiness from the body, body happiness, flesh happiness, sense happiness. This is karma, the covering of karma. And the covering of gyan is happiness without the body, to be happy by renouncing the body. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, and Brahmananda. So one is gross pleasure, gross flesh, body, sense happiness, and the other is subtle pleasure. But they're all forms of sense gratification. They're coverings of the pure soul. Desire for the bliss of Brahman or the bliss of detachment. The peace that shanti and that detachment brings. And the inner satisfaction or the subtle mental satisfaction that detachment from the material body and pushings and demands of the body brings by yoga meditation and realization. That is another type of material sense gratification. Jnanis are lazy people. They don't want to do anything. They want to do nothing. God is neti neti, not this, not that. Karmis are active foolish. They're very active, but foolish. They're passionately running everywhere, trying to enjoy the body and find happiness. You see, as soon as the sun rises, everyone's running on the roads, running everywhere, from sunrise to sunset. So they're moving. We say karmavadis. Karmavadis. Karma bodies, maya bodies. These bodies are maya bodies. We say mayavadi as a philosophy, impersonalism, Advaitin Gyan, impersonal viewpoint. There's maya body, a body misconception. Living in this material body and with the misunderstanding or misconception that I am the body, maya body. Maya body, M-A-Y-A-B-O-D-Y. Maya means that which is not. Accepting that which is not as reality. Accepting that which is not as that which is. So maya body is a person, a materialist, a karmi, being covered with karma, but a maya body is someone who accepts the material body and senses, man's body, woman's body, this is me. I am this body, accepting this body, which is not me, to be me. That is the philosophy of the maya body, maya body. So these maya bodies, karma bodies, those that are covered with karma, they're very active foolish. And the jnanis, they sit in one place and meditate, Tattvamasi soham, 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 sarvam kavidam brahma, aham brahmasmi. So the jnanis, they just sit down, inertia. Not transcendental, but let's say laziness. Like the mode of ignorance, no non-activity, simply meditating, contemplating. They're simply lazy. The jnanis want to find happiness by doing nothing. So all the endeavors, all the possible activities or movings or actions in this world, of everyone in the material world, including devotees, are mixed with these two desires, these two types of abhilash, desires of karma and desires of jnana. This is anyabhilashita shunyam karma jnana karmadi anabritam. So this karma and jnana, these two desires, one is karma means the desire to act, and jnana is the desire to do nothing, non-action. Karma is action, jnana is non-action. But the best psychology or the best study is the study of oneself. And then we can understand why. And when you see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you look at the example of Hanuman, he's saying that my devotion, Hanuman is, when he's being glorified by Narada Muni as being a great devotee, has received so much mercy of the Lord. Hanuman was replying by saying, interesting word, unbelievable word. He says, my devotion is kapat. Kapat means cheating. Someone might ask, how is it? He's famous as Dasya Rati or Dasya Bha of Hanuman, Dasya Bhakta, as pure Dasya Rati. Dasya Rati for Lord Ramachandra, he's a dedicated, pure servant of the Lord. But he himself is saying that his devotion, his bhakti is kapat bhakti, is cheating. And then Prahlad Maharaj, so this is inconceivable. And this Brihad Bhagavatamrita and the Bhagavatam himself, by showing their intensity of their dedication, how they actually feel, humbly feel about themselves, then we can try to imagine, by putting ourselves in Hanuman's shoes or Prahlad Maharaj's shoes or Yudhisthira, how would we think? How would we act? Then we can have some realization of how great devotees are. And all the devotees like the Pandavas, how great they are, their devotion. Sarana. Sarana. S for sarana, S for struggle. Problems. In the beginning of taking up devotional service, we face so many problems and hardships with our own minds and senses, with our relatives and family, so-called friends and society. It's not easy. But our main hardships and problems come from our remaining prarabdha, the stored, the root cause of our suffering, of our previous life's actions. In other words, the prarabdha is the reaction to our sins, which are manifesting as suffering. That's the prarabdha. The reactions to previous life sins are manifesting now in this life, and we're suffering. Suffering for our papa karma and enjoying our punya karma. That's the prarabdha. Our suffering, of course, is caused by our bad prarabdha or our sinful acts from previous lives. So what is the response? How do we respond to suffering? They often say it's not what happens to a man that measures his quality, but it's how he responds. A great man will respond to the same situation happens to two different men, but a man of spiritual depth and attainment and devotion, he will respond in one way, and a materialistic person or a neophyte devotee will respond in another way or a third way. So it's not what happens to us, but how we respond. But how we respond to what happens to us, that's what counts. That's what makes the difference between a surrendered, successful devotee and an attached materialist or a struggling neophyte. So what's required when facing our prarabdha or anarthas and difficulties and hardships is tolerance. Tamsatikshashabharata. Krishna's telling in Gita the tolerance. Machasparshas tukantaya shitoshna shukadugada agamapayano nichas tamsatikshashabharata. Dualities are there. This is a dualistic world. Day and night, happiness and distress, heat and cold, winter season, summer season. We have to tolerate these dualities and go on. Tateinu kampam shushimikshimano banjana evatmana kritam vipakam ridvag vapubir vidadan namaste jivete yomukti Pade Sadaya book. And Brahma is telling in 10th canto that we have to tolerate and continue with our bhakti, serve Krishna with our body, mind, and words, our heart, heartfelt devotion, heartfelt desire to please the Lord and satisfy the Lord, and tolerate whatever it is, let it come on our way. What is won't last. What was is past. At all times be steadfast. Well, Brahma is telling the same thing. Tolerate vipakam, kritam vipakam, tolerate the bad and go on. Keep serving Krishna. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna keeps serving him. And this is the main quality of a saintly person. Kapila Muni was telling his mother Devahuti, Tatikshava Kurunika, Suridasa Vedehina. So the Tatikshava, this tolerance, is a very important quality, must always be increased and implemented in our devotional lives. When we take up spiritual life, Krishna gives us a special boost, beginner's enthusiasm, beginner's mercy. Everything is joyful, blissful, happy. Chant and be happy. Take prasad. Eat halava up to the neck. Dance in kirtan. Festivals, Rath Yatra, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnim, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, yatras, festivals, birthdays, classes, and kirtans. Everything seems very easy, and no problem. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But as one progresses in chanting Hare Krishna, then he comes to realize, by the mercy of the holy name, and by Bhakti Devi, he realizes how the depth of his anarthas, or the depth of his contamination. And then he has a rather opposite experience. When chant Hare Krishna and be happy, then it becomes chant Hare Krishna and be sad. Chant Hare Krishna and be frustrated. Sad at our lack of devotion. Sad at the realization of our deep attachments to Maya and deep materialistic samskaras. Then sometimes we become disheartened. But of course, if you look in the material world, the materialists also face many problems. Problems in family, business, school, life itself, mental problems, physical problems. There's no end to the struggle. Karshati, Prakriti, Stani, Karshati. The living entities, Prakriti, Stani, Prakriti, Stan. The living entity, the jiva, the human beings, are situated in this material world. Prakriti, in this material energy, they're standing there. Prakriti, Stani, standing in Prakriti. Apikarshati, and it's Karshan. They're being pulled this way and that way. Karshan, attracted. They're being attracted by Maya and pulled by Maya and kicked by Maya. Struggling. Karshati means struggling. So this is what happens even with the devotee. There's a struggle. But the difference, there's a difference between the materialist, the struggle of the materialist and the struggle of the spiritualist. The karmi and Maya body, the Maya body, and devotees, they both struggle. But the Mayavadis are the materialistic people, the sense enjoyers, the non-devotees of this world. They struggle very hard, but they only meet defeat, and then they have to start again, struggling more. More problems, more struggle, more difficulty. So the devotees, in comparison, yes, okay, devotees are also struggling, but the amount of their struggle, or the quantity of their struggle, is much less percentage in comparison. Because the devotees are on the path of perfection. They're on the road to spiritual enlightenment, to God realization. And we're going to the perfect land, to the land. We're actually going to the real land of no problem. Although everyone in India says, this land, oh, no problem. Can you do this favor for me? Can you do this work for me? Can you do this job for me? Oh, yes, surely, surely, no problem, no problem. No problem, Prabhu, no problem, Prabhu. It will be done. So everywhere, everyone in India is saying no problem. And this country has unlimited millions and millions of problems. Many of them are completely unsolvable problems. The problems go on and never end. never get solved. So it's kind of only a phrase, they say no problem, but there's nothing but problems. It's not no problem, it's nothing but problems. No thing but problems. Not no problem, but no thing but problems. But the devotees are going to the spiritual world. Chit Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Ananda Dham. And there, there's no problems. It's such an Ananda existence. It's Ananda, it's blissful, joyful. Every word is a song. Everything one drinks is like nectar, ambrosia, and every step is a dance. It's a dance of love, a dance of joy, a dance of fulfillment, charm, beauty, happiness. It's a dancing plane, the plane of dancing. The flowers are dancing, the peacocks are dancing. The cows are dancing, the calves are dancing, the birds are dancing, the gopis are dancing, the gopas are dancing. Everyone is dancing to the tune of the Manohar, Murli Manohar. He's captivating everyone's mind and heart with his beautiful flute playing, his sweet and luscious and flute playing. So everyone's moving there. So we're working, we're going there. We're struggling to attain that land. But people in this material world are struggling to enjoy their senses, to accumulate, to gather, to collect. To accumulate, to gather, to collect, to build, to establish, to expand, to control, to exploit, to manipulate, to proliferate, and to enjoy. Extract, squeeze, enjoy. And they work so hard, but then they're defeated, utterly and absolutely and completely decimated, obliterated, annihilated. Everything's finished, and then again, start again. Roll the ball up to the top of the hill, and then it falls down, and roll it back up to the top of the hill, and it falls down, and roll it up to the top of the hill, and then the ball rolls down. No success. Absolute failure. So devotees struggle, very small, and the reward is great. The struggle is very less, and the reward is very great. Eternal blissful life in Vrindavan. Eternally serving Radha and Krishna. No more samsara. No more birth and death, no more disease, no more old age, no more competition, no more anxiety, no more disappointment. Like we say, this material world is what is this material world? It's like 3D. This material world is like a 3D movie. This material world is like a 3D movie. What are the 3Ds? This material world is a 3D movie. Distress, dissatisfaction, and disappointment. So they work so hard in this material world. And what does one get? Distress, dissatisfaction, disappointment. So these are the 3Ds. But we can add one fourth one. Death, and punarjanam, and punarmrityu. Sarvato mritya. Everywhere death. Everywhere death. This is the material world. But for the devotee, when he goes to the spiritual world, attains his spiritual body in the eternal service of Radha Govinda in Vrindavan, then no more birth and death. That's nitya dham, eternal dham. So the shastras are advising us how to deal with problems, how to deal with difficulties. We should accept the hardships, the obstacles, the problems that we have to face within ourselves or with others or with our environment. These hardships that are coming, we should accept them as austerities. These are austerities coming to us to purify us. These hardships, these difficulties, these impediments, these challenges, they're coming as austerities to help remove the impurities from our hearts. Just like gold, when they get gold nuggets, digging up gold rocks or nuggets from the ground, they have to purify it by fire. They melt it, they burn it. So that's a problem for the gold. It has to be burned in the fire. And when they burn and melt the gold, all kinds of scum and slag and things come to the surface, which they scoop off and throw away. And then it turns to solid, and then they melt it again. It becomes 8-carat gold, and then 10-carat, and 12, and then 16, and 18, and 20, and 22-carat, 24-carat gold. The more the burning, the more burning, the more melting, the more purification. So tapasya means austerity, and tap, the prefix tap means fire, burning. So we have to face our problems, and the problems, they burn us. They burn our minds. They burn our hearts. And in that burning process, the problems bring that burning, and we accept this burning, we accept these problems as austerities or tapasya to purify us. So that burning fire, that burning heart or burning mind, these problems and difficulties, sometimes they burn our minds. We get so agitated or so disturbed, our mind is burning, our hearts are burning with these problems. We continue doing bhakti with more dedication, increased sincerity, increased quality and quantity of devotion. So these problems, we accept them as austerities to purify us. So this fire, this tapasya, this fire will come and burn out the fire of lust and burn out the fire of greed and anger. So the solution is to tolerate the problems and keep serving Krishna. Soon we'll become perfect and get success. We can take inspiration in one sense. We can learn something from everyone, like the 24 gurus of the Avadhut, Dattatreya, and Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Even materialistic people, workaholics, as they say, workaholics, running in the rat race, their example can also give inspiration to us. We can take inspiration from them. They also face, they experience, materialist experience, and face so many problems in day-to-day life. Yet they keep on struggling, they keep on going. Every Monday they go to work, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday, rain and sleet and hail and summer and winter. Every day, dutifully, they work 20 years in one job, 40 years, steadily, pushing, pushing, pushing. And they face so many problems. But they keep fighting with the problems, they keep fighting with Maya. So if we can take inspiration from them and be inspired by their example and work hard like they do, but work hard in the service of Guru and Krishna, really hard, no laziness, full application, full concentration, full dedication, giving the service of Guru and Krishna our everything, not holding back, not waiting, oh, I'll give some service now, more service later. No, full surrender, absolute attention, full absorption, no hesitation, no holding back, everything for Krishna. This is, materialists are like this, the Maya bodies, absorbed in their bodies, absorbed in the illusion of their bodies. Anyone who is absorbed in the illusion of the material body is a Maya body. So we can work hard like they do. And very soon, if we as devotees in the service of Guru and Krishna, if we worked half as hard, only half as hard as the karmis work and their jobs, work at their jobs and maintaining their families and jobs and their position and social position and status in society, and working so hard to attain that coveted sense gratification. If we worked half as hard as the average karmi does, then very soon we would attain perfection in Krishna consciousness within a few years. And then when we come perfect, we become perfect in Krishna consciousness, become true lovers of Krishna, premi bhaktas, premikas, then we can actually say, ah, yes, now, as they say in India, do you have any problems? No. No problem, no problem. In one word, what does sadhana mean? We say vaidhi sadhana or raganuga sadhana. Sadhana is a stage of practice, a stage of endeavor, a stage of hard work, a stage of surrender. In one word, sadhana means struggle. S for sadhana, S for struggle, S for sharanagati, S for sincerity, S for saralata, straightforwardness, S for simplicity. So sadhana means struggle, sadhana means problems, but that struggle is short-lived. And very soon, the struggle goes very shortly, but the fruits, the victory is savored eternally. The reward of our struggle. We are duly rewarded for our struggle with eternal life in the eternal realm of Vrindavan, in the eternal service of Radha Govinda at their lotus feet. This is the reward for the struggle in sadhana.